Sports Station and The Drive, Area 45, is now live.
Yeah, that a boy, that a boy.
Best drive ever.
Ever. It's huge. They're fantastic. They're great people. Luke Morrow and Chris Partee are awesome. Great
Only
job,
Only the
fellas.
Best people. Only the greatest people.
Only the best people can work here, especially on Area 45. How about that?
It's the best 45 of all 45.
I guess we have confirmation. Payne and Pendergast actually worked this morning, unless it was the AI version of them. Like, did you actually see Sean? He was sitting in the seat. Okay, cool.
Did you have AI Seth?
He might have had AI.
They had AI Seth.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I wonder if Seth has, like, the glitches, like Max Headroom. I'm like, hi, I'm Seth Payne.
That was really well done. I was waiting to see how you were going to do that. That was really well done. We have a lot to talk about today on a Labor Day. Hope everybody's enjoying. Is it good weather? No, the weather sucks outside. Holy smokes.
The weather is ass.
Dude, where did all this rain come from? I was just looking. I don't live, you know, in this part of town anymore, but like Broadway and 610 South. Did you see the picture on social media? This had to be yesterday. Yeah, it was. It was a 21-hour-old post. It was like cars were completely covered, like their rooftops. What the hell? I thought these were just like pop-up thunderstorms that we were getting.
Yeah, but you got to remember, here in this great city of Houston, if it drizzles, there's flooding.
It had to be bad for you to post a rain video on Facebook.
There is a rain video outside my house. That was literally like less than 3 minutes after it started raining.
Yeah.
Because the thunder was so loud, it was shaking my house.
That's pretty wild, man.
Like the chandelier in the dining room started swinging.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, thunder must be real close. All of a sudden, you look outside and boom, like torrential downpour.
Yeah.
I went and grabbed my phone, took a quick little video of this. Like, this was like not even 3 minutes after it started raining. And there's like, you know, the water's already getting up to the rims of the car.
I saw it because PK, you had PK scared. PK from Norway scared. He was like, oh, I hope it's not going to flood your brand new home.
So, like, earlier last week, we had a pop-up thunderstorm, and it rained for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Every freaking exit, well, entrance ramp, trying to get onto I-10, right, from Mason Road to Park 10 was underwater.
Are you talking about when you were trying to get into work one
it was
night?
It was like Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, a morning.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Wednesday morning, and every entrance ramp, like, there's like massive lines to get onto. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's because they're all flooded.
Yeah, that's wild, man. It's wild. Hope everybody's safe out there and the rain goes away soon.
Can we drill some holes somewhere? Get this water to go somewhere else.
Yeah, flood control in Houston? Nah, we'll be fine. Psh, please. Byron Matthews producing. Byron, how the hell are you, man?
Doing good. Had a very fun weekend, so can't complain.
Yeah, good. Good weekend.
What will be?
A little college football involved in your life, I would imagine.
Yeah, that was the morning.
Yeah.
That was the good part of my life. But I just watched the UT and Ohio State, because in the night I went to go see The Weeknd.
I gotta be honest with you, that's the only thing I watched. It's all I cared about. UT, Ohio State, and
I know I'm old. Is like when you said you went to see The Weeknd, that's like a musical performer, right?
Yeah, he's a music artist. Yeah. Okay.
You went to see The Weeknd this weekend.
Yeah.
Where was he? Toyota?
NRG.
NRG.
This was his first time back in Houston since 2016. Because in 2020, COVID happened and his stadium tour 2 years ago,
yeah,
he didn't come to Houston.
Yeah, you're a big concert guy.
I only know about this
because
I was driving home from SFA on Saturday night, there were still, like, the sign still said, concert event at NRG 288 South.
Oh, yeah.
Coming down 59.
That means beware, it's going to take a while.
Now, I feel pretty confident that when I was coming home, I'm driving, I got home at like 10:30, so it's probably like 9:30, I'm on a 59, as you're getting through like into Conroe and whatnot. And like, wouldn't the concert be like, you know, halfway over by now?
Yeah, yeah.
Why does this still say this on the sign?
Refresh. But that's cool. I didn't know The Weeknd was that big to where they could play like NRG. I would think like Toyota Center or something, but shows you what I know.
All right. So for the elderly in the room.
Amber Alert.
What is a Weeknd song that I would know?
Okay.
Don't tell me. Just play it.
Okay.
Because if you're going to tell me, I'm like, I don't know. Like you have to play.
It's like me. Yeah.
Play a song from The Weeknd. Why would you? I was going to say, what kind of idiot names himself The Weeknd, but we've seen worse names. So not going to hammer them for being cold the weekend when there are definitely worse freaking names out there. But like, I don't top my, like, I couldn't tell you a weekend song, yeah. But I bet like when Lil B plays one, like, oh yeah, I've heard that before.
See, you're in the territory that you put me in all the time because the weekend is an actual current and currently popular entertainer. You don't know the names of songs, but
it's because I'm not 30.
Yeah, well, it's because I'm not 60 when you asked me to know the name of a song that was popular in the 70s.
You should know those.
Okay, yes.
Because over 30.
Because. That's it.
Because you're over 30, you should know those.
Okay.
You ready?
You should know 80 songs because you're over 30.
All right, let's see what you got.
What do you got?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I've heard the song.
Yeah, you have.
And I recognize the sample. Like, this, he's sampling an 80s song.
Yeah. Yeah, his last, like, three albums have all been, like, more 80s themes.
Is it called Blinded by the Light?
Yeah, Blinding Lights.
Boom.
No, it's called Blinding Lights.
Close enough.
Blinded by the Light was Bruce Springsteen and or Manfred Mann.
Of course.
Who
didn't know that?
You. Apparently, but like you hear the you can hear the beat of like the 80s song.
I don't know what he sampled, but I just knew it was 80s for sure.
Yeah, you're not supposed to know, Lil B. It's okay.
But I do think like for music wise, in the 80s is the best like decade in my opinion.
1980s?
Yeah, the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. Name your favorite 1980s band.
Journey.
Okay, good pull.
You know, no. I saw them at the rodeo, but the Electrical Fire. So, like, by the time I sat down,
I was at that show.
Yeah, PC. So we were late. So as soon as we entered the stadium, I'm having a brain fart.
It was the fourth. Don't Stop Believing was the fourth song.
Yeah, yeah. Don't Stop Believing. So I just sat down, and then that's when the lights went out, and the crowd started singing, and everyone just gets hushed because it's like, oh, the lights aren't coming back on. And then it's like, oh, we're fixing the issue. It's Electrical Fire. The concert's been canceled. And everyone just started booing.
Have a great night, everybody.
There are four songs. And this is the fourth song. And at the end of the first verse, Arnel Pineda's microphone cuts out. And he's singing. It's just like, okay. So he just pointed the microphone at the crowd. The crowd just kept on going, right? We all think this is part of the act. He's just telling us to sing. And then all of a sudden, you can't hear any of the instruments either. So we're continuing to sing. There's no music. And all of a sudden, you start to see like a team of people rush the stage.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get them off the stage. Like, all right, what the hell is going on? And you can see the band members are like, what's going on here? What do you, like? Because there's a electrical fire underneath the stage. And they've got to get them out of there because they're trying to... Louis Garcia just gave up a home run into the Crawford boxes.
Could you get any more of a Crawford
literally
box special?
Was 1 foot over the wall.
I think you're being generous.
Right on the pole. I mean, one stinking foot. That ball cleared the wall by like the width of the baseball.
You ever see that highlight on social? Like the guy stacks the beer cans up on the outfield wall, and some outfielder throws the baseball and knocks over the beer cans. Like, that's how close that ball was to, like, just getting over the wall. That is ridiculous. Who was that? Nieto?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And just to finish the story Lil B and I were talking about is, you know, there's an electrical fire. We hope to have everything restored in the next 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 40 minutes go by. We're still working on that fire. we're hoping to have everything done as soon as possible. 20 minutes later. Unfortunately, we cannot repair everything that's been damaged. The show is over, folks. Please get home safely.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, forgot, go home safely.
You were there. You took off work to go to that concert. Yeah.
I was so devastated.
That was
man.
The only show I had any interest in seeing at the rodeo last
and
year.
Then,
the
womp,
only
womp.
One. And,
now, did they make good on the tickets? Did they
We all got refunds.
Okay.
Everybody got refunded, and it took a while, but... everybody got their tickets refunded from that show, but I think in reality people didn't want to get refunded. They wanted to watch Journey.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the weird thing to me is they do less and less rock shows every year. Like, you're lucky to get one now. And you know what show sells out?
What's that?
The rock show.
The rock show?
Whatever show is like the rock and roll band. Like Journey sold out.
Oh yeah, that stadium was packed. Yeah.
Remember where we were? I went. To, my kids wanted to go see Nickelback, so we went to go see Nickelback.
Was that at the rodeo?
It was at the rodeo.
Okay.
Fully sold out.
Well,
it was the only show that completely sold out.
Nickelback's like nostalgic now. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he's now in the Journey group, which is like, oh yeah, nostalgia act. But it was sold out.
Mm.
Whatever rock band is only bringing one rock band now. Whoever it is, those tickets are the hardest ones to get.
Yeah, I think the last concert that I ever saw at the rodeo, it had to be a decade now. It was ZZ Top, and that was fantastic.
ZZ Top is awesome.
It was great. But, you know, they only play. I bet you they only played for like 45
minutes. Well, you only get like an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the rodeo. You only get an hour.
But this year, I think Cody Johnson, the last rodeo day, he's actually getting like a full concert because they're selling his tickets, I think, in a couple of weeks or something.
Who's Cody Johnson?
He's a country singer. I don't know his music.
Goes.
I mean,
you know? Come on, you know a lot of Cody Johnson songs.
Why can't, I mean, listen, it's the rodeo, and these guys are always like, I mean, these guys play, were the biggest act for the Nashville New Year's Eve. Can we just get, I mean, I know that there's no original band members left, because they're all dead.
Who?
Get Lynyrd Skynyrd on stage. They still put on a good show.
Well, what do you mean there's no
original? All the original members of the band are dead.
Well, who's the lead singer?
The brother of Ronnie Van Zant.
Come on, really?
Sounds good.
They went to the brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody's dead. We need to go to like next of kin.
Well, I mean,
do you guys know how to play instruments?
Ronnie Van Zant died like in the 70s. So they played with the brother for a very long time.
I did not know that.
First time I saw Lynyrd Skynyrd was like 1993. That was the first time I saw them. Because I was 20.
How can they get away with this?
Because they still pull it off. Still play.
Like they don't lip sync or anything. No. You know this for a fact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You like, can tell. They're not lip syncing.
Next of kin. You're up. That's so wild. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like, there's no Milli Vanilli on this.
Oh, wow. That's fun. I think I would like to just jam old school Lynyrd Skynyrd just one time and then just go see them. Now, they would play like a Toyota Center or something, or would be like Smart Financial if they came to town.
Probably, yeah. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, like they were the headliners for Nashville New Year's Eve like 2 years ago. And I actually watched that instead of, you know, the bastardization of Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Dumbass Seacrest. If ever there was someone I really just wanted to get the snot beat out of them on national television on New Year's Eve, it's Ryan Seacrest.
Why are you hating, bro?
Because he is annoying AF.
He was supposed to be the next Dick Clark. What happened
there? Yeah, no, he's, you know, just dropped the Clark.
What happened?
Things are not going well here for...
No. They're just...
For the Astros.
Oh, I thought that was just a camera guy showing.
Yeah, they could not find the baseball.
Oh, boy.
As Garcia has now given up two home runs in the top of the
fourth. I accept the jinx. I jinxed it because I'd said, oh, boy, Luis Garcia through three innings had like 34 pitches. He's being way more efficient than Lance McCullers was yesterday in his two innings of work.
And see, this is what I've been talking about with...
It's gone to hell.
If you don't have any velocity, and Luis has no velocity right now, you're not going to get through the lineup three times.
Belt high,
you're
bro.
Barely going to get through the lineup twice.
Oh, boy.
And unfortunately, you take a look at that Joe Adell home run, which he hit 106 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That fastball was 90.6 miles per hour, letter high, dead center.
Yeah. Astros are down 3-2, top four, one out. 54 pitches into the outing for Luis Garcia, making his 2025 debut today. Boy, it sucks that the Astros need this game to split against this squad. The Angels, they squandered two really good outings the last couple of days by Spencer Arrighetti and Hunter Brown. We're not going to see Lance McCullers out of the bullpen today. And I'm guessing we're not going to see AJ Blueball out of the bullpen
today.
Yeah,
I don't understand why McCullers and Blueball both pitched yesterday. One of those guys should have been your tandem guy for Garcia, who you know probably isn't going to go more than four innings.
Joe Espada took a giant dump on our really good theory that we had put together the last couple of weeks.
I mean, I don't understand why would you burn Blueball for a one-inning performance. Like, well, that part didn't make any sense. It was a one-inning performance. The whole reason you have Blue Ball in the bullpen is to give you length. So you have him pitch one inning? That was dumb. We talk about, like, Espada usually is pretty good with his bullpen moves. That one is a head scratcher.
No, and I would have had Blue Ball as, you know, the guy to come in behind Hunter Brown and save Lance for today. Because look, you got six innings out of Hunter Brown. What, he throw 94 pitches? That's a really good outing for Hunter Brown again. And, you know, I know Lance hasn't thrown in a while, but I mean, hell, save him for one more day. Because God knows now you might very much need him, because if not, you're going to burn through everybody at this rate.
We got to have a conversation about Lance McCullers at this point. Like, we have to have a real conversation.
Here's the conversation. Bury him in the H. Are you on or off the bandwagon? And I mean, like, bury him now. We'll get to
he
it.
He needs literal bury. Like, take him out to a swamp field, make him dig his own ditch, and then bury
him. Damn, like old Yeller. Area 45 continues next.
That ball hit into right center field. That'll be down for a hit. Yiner Diaz being waved around, and he is going to score. Astros tie it up at three. Ramon Urias driving in his second run today.
Todd Cowlis and Jeff Blum on the call. Space City Home Network. Astros tied it up. Three runs apiece. Bottom four. Man on first. And is that one or two outs, PC? I missed the graphic on the broadcast right there. But Astros.
There is one out. He's straddling the line. Umpire. Okay, so home plate, I'm called foul ball on this. That's why we went back.
Okay. One out. And there's a man one on out first.
And man on first. Astros tie the game on that RBI single by Ramon Urias scoring.
Did you know Ramon Urias loves to hit some Kikuchi, man? He is responsible for a couple of the Astros runs today. Hit a dinger.
He's actually responsible for
not all of them. Altuve doubled.
I say he's responsible for two of their three runs.
Yeah, Altuve doubled in Pena back in the third inning. Urias hit a 360-foot home run in the second for the Astros.
Brady's porch.
He'll hit dingers.
Yeah. He likes to hit dingers. That's a fourth home run. Was that four or is it five now?
No, he has six hits in his career against Yusei Kikuchi, and four of them are bombs.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
That is ownership.
I love it. Luis Garcia, we'll see if he stays in the ballgame. I would imagine he does, especially since the Astros tied this game back up. It's a brand new ballgame headed to the fifth inning now. Garcia making his Astro debut this season. Four innings, three hits, three earned runs, no walks, and four strikeouts so far for the Astros.
He's also given him a pair of homers.
Yeah, it's okay.
Now, granted, one was like barely 340 feet, and the other was 360 feet, but both Brady's Porch specials.
Hey, by the way, did you know Luis Garcia knows English?
See.
Does he never do interviews in English? He's always with the translator, is he not?
See.
He knows English. They showed his interaction with the one of it had to be the first base umpire, you know, to go check the sticky stuff situation after the inning. And the umpire's like, "Hey, Luis, how are you?" And Luis is like, "Good, how are you?" Like, they have him mic'd up, like they're right there. And he's having a conversation with the first base umpire. And I'm like, how the hell come we can't get that?
Because that might be about as much as he knows in conversation.
No, come on.
Okay, once upon a time, I spoke fluent Spanish. The problem is that time was in the early to mid-90s.
How do you say BS in Espanol? BS.
Let me tell you, the mother of children will tell you that when we had our honeymoon in Cancun, I had a 40-minute conversation in Spanish with our cab driver.
Stop.
About baseball.
No, you did not.
She will tell you. Because when we got home.
Slowest conversation
that
ever.
Was one of the first things that she could tell you. It's like, he's freaking talking Spanish to the damn cab driver. They're talking about baseball 40 minutes. I had to listen to that crap. I didn't even understand any of it.
Me gusta baseball? Sí.
But I'm so horribly out of practice that I can speak like basic Spanish.
Mm.
But if you had to ask me about legitimate questions and stuff, no, I'm going to say it in English and have somebody translate it for me so that I don't stand there and go, wait, ¿cómo se dice en español?
Oh, man, that's better than me. I got to brush up on the basics again for me because I'm as good as like keywords and pointing. And that kind of gets the job done for me these days.
Because I'm so out of practice, what happens is somebody will speak Spanish to me. And because when you're out of practice, you're trying to process each word individually, that I'll only pick up like every third or fourth word.
Because
I'm like, oh, wait, what does that word mean again? Okay. And then by the time I figure it out, well, they're 10, 12 words down. Yeah. Like, all right, I lost you.
Yeah.
Más despacio, por favor.
Man. Yeah. You're all right. I believe you now. You're pulling some stuff out. You got me beat by a lot. I will tell you that right now. So were you like
Sean
me?
Sean knows más cerveza, por favor.
Yeah, if I can remember
and
that.
And ¿dónde está el baño?
No.
For the recycled beer.
No. Are you like me? You want to bury Lance McCullers Jr. in the H right now? Or shall we wait till later?
Look, this is a hard conversation we got to have about Lance. It's not about his effort. It is about the quality of pitcher that he is right now, and that's not a great quality of pitcher.
No, it's like great value brand. Sorry.
He's throwing 90 mile an hour fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
The average right-hand pitcher in Major League Baseball throws 95. He's throwing 90. Those are batting practice fastballs. And he doesn't throw that many of them anymore because his velo is so bad. But his best two pitches are swing and miss pitches. Knuckle curve and a slider. They're designed to get swings and misses. There are no easy outs for him. Everything is designed to be a strikeout. That's why they want him to focus on his sinker. Hey, get the sinker over, get some ground balls, get some easy outs. You know, don't rack up your pitch count.
Yeah.
Get some gimmies.
I used to talk to Hunter Brown about the sinker.
The problem is he's struggling to throw the sinker over the plate or to throw the sinker over the plate in the proper areas that it's not going to get pounded because, oh, it's a sinker, but it's like dead mid-center of the plate, right? So his command of that pitch isn't working very well right now. And he's got no velo to get himself out of jams when, you know, hey, you know what? I can dial this thing up to 96, throw it really high in the zone, get a pop-up, get a swing and a miss, get out of here. He can't do that anymore. And as a result, he's really struggling to consistently get out. And he got through the seventh, and then in the eighth, walk, double, walk, little dribbler in front of the plate that he fires down the line to right field.
Yeah, yeah.
Hits the next batter. Like, that's meltdown type stuff. Two walks and three batters following a double, and then you throw a ball into the outfield trying to throw a guy out of first base, and then you hit the next guy. I'm not going to say drill because you don't throw hard enough to drill somebody.
Dang, you're being mean now. Now it's personal.
This is, unfortunately, two very, very serious injuries have destroyed his arm. And he just can't. He can't be a guy that, at least right now, right, the rest of this season, he's not a guy you can trust.
No. That's where
just
I'm at.
Just not.
That's where I'm at. It's funny because, you know, a lot of people have been hating on Lance for, you know, a couple of years now. But no, I would like to see this guy succeed. And if he's to succeed in the future as an Astro or anybody else, I don't think it's going to be as a starting pitcher. I do kind of see his career shifting to the bullpen. But I don't see it this year. I am just like you. I do not see him being successful for the Astros this season. And that's the hard conversation that Dana Brown, Joe Espada, the Astros have to have with Lance McCullers. And maybe it becomes a little bit easier now that you get a Luis Garcia back into the mix. Who knows how far along JP France is before, you know, he returns. But even if, you know, forget about that for just a second. Like, who the Astros have in uniform on this roster right now, I think that's it. That's kind of who they've got. That's who they should really focus their attention on. And you don't have very many options beyond that. But if you're at the point where you're the Astros right now and you're holding your breath, needing and wanting and Lance McCullers to be a part of the solution rather than the problem, I think you're in real trouble. And the Astros might very well be in that camp right now, because it's been a hell of a season with injuries, and you can only overcome so much.
And look, this is not personal with Lance, because I have said for many years, this isn't Lance doesn't want to pitch. Lance wants to pitch, and Lance has worked his ass off to try to be able to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But the injuries have taken a toll on his arm that right now he's not good enough to be a major league pitcher. And it's probably in both of their best interests to shut him down for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And work on strengthening his arm and getting him to be closer to the pitcher he once was. Find out, can this guy really be a starting pitcher next year, or is this guy going to be somebody that we need to look at as a tandem starter?
Yeah.
Is he capable of being a bullpen pitcher? Because the strain on the arm is different as a bullpen guy. You've got to be able to get up, get down quickly. You've got to be able to warm up quickly. A starter, usually they're out there 2 hours before the game, starting to get loose, going through their routine. Like, they take their time and they get themselves ready. When you pitch out of the bullpen, sometimes you have a batter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, get your ass up, run, and start throwing. You need to get loose now. You'd hope to not have to use him in that type of situation.
Right.
But the point is still, he's not going to get more than an inning to warm up. Right? You might say to him, okay, we're coming up to bat here in the bottom of the seventh. You need to be ready for the start of the eighth. Get up and get going.
Yep.
You've got about 5 minutes. Well, 2 hours versus 5 minutes is very different. Can his arm withstand that? Because the answer is, we don't know.
Yeah, no, you don't know. And to be honest with you, the Astros in a position right now where they've only really been in once in the last handful of years going into the month of September. It's a tight race against the Mariners. You're two games up, entering play today. And you've got some very important ball games ahead of you on your schedule. And I don't know that you can continue to kind of roll the dice and, play that game with Lance McCullers, just hoping that he figures something out.
Once upon a time, this was one of the best bullpens in baseball. And a lot of their season metrics mm-hmm. are still top three, top four. But over the last month,
now it's the most ravaged.
With the injuries, and like now we are seeing the weakness of this pen, in that the underbelly of the bullpen is really soft.
Mm-hmm.
And even the middle innings now are dicey, because guys who used to pitch low leverage now are being asked to pitch a higher, like mid leverage,
mm-hmm.
and their success has not been as good as it once was. So everybody's role has changed, and you're asking Abreu to be the closer, outside of the fact that he, got touched up the other day. For the most part, Brian Abreu has been unhittable the entire season.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Brian Abreu having one bad game in 2.5 months. Brian King is being asked to pitch the eighth inning. Craig Kimbrell is being asked to pitch the seventh and eighth inning. Oakert is pitching the seventh inning. These guys were pitching the sixth inning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody's now had to move up a grade because of the injury to Josh Hader.
De Los Santos is your get me out of trouble here in the middle innings.
Sometimes he's to get you into trouble in the middle innings.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
The idea of, Lance, the bullpen arm. Not being able to be a starter does not make you a bullpen arm, right? Number one thing for anybody in the bullpen is you can't come in and start walking dudes. Lance walks a lot of guys.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
You can't be a leverage pitcher in a bullpen if you hand out free passes. And that's why, it's like, we'll just put him in the bullpen. It's not as simple as just put him in the bullpen. That will fundamentally change the kind of pitcher he is. He may have to change what he throws and when he throws it. Can he withstand get up, get down, get up fast, get down, get up, get down? Can he pitch 2 days in a row? Can he pitch 3 out of 5 days? We don't know the answers to the question. We don't know if his arm can handle that.
First question is, can the guy throw strikes? And right now the answer is no.
And so that's the biggest issue we have.
It's a non-starter. It's a non-starter, no matter what role you want him to play.
It's not a matter of start or bullpen. He is not a major league caliber pitcher right now, today, as is. And they need to get him back to being one.
Yep. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, Byron Matthews producing. We're Area 45 in for the drive. Coming up next, are the Astros still poised to win the division. We'll get to that and some of the other happenings from college football over the weekend. That's next. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Area 45 in for the fellas on the drive on Labor Day. Appreciate you joining us. Hope you're having a good day as well. If you want to be a part of the show, don't be scary. Phone lines are open. 713-572-4610. 572-4610. You can call or text or join us on the chats, YouTube, Twitch. It's all up and working. We got that going on. PC, you call Carlos Correa Captain Clutch?
Captain Crush.
Captain Crush.
Crush City, Captain Crush.
I'll go Clutch as well.
Well, that name was previously taken by a different player.
Hey, he's Clutch so far for the Astros. What the hell would they be doing offensively without Carlos Correa?
Hitting over 300 since becoming an Astro again. And by the way, Carlos Correa playing third base like he's been a gold glover at third base for the last 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what they say. If you can play shortstop at the major league level, you can
play anywhere.
You can play anywhere.
But still, the ability, like, third base is very different from short. As somebody who learned to play third base before they learned to play short, there's a lot less time to react at third base. And growing up a hockey goalie, I was used to fast reactions. So third base to me, I was just used to that speed of play. When you learn to play short and you realize, wow, everything takes a little longer to get here. And now you're learning to charge baseballs because you don't really charge anything other than bunts or, you know, dribblers when you're at third base. Balls on top of you in a heartbeat. So it is different. And if you remember when A-Rod first learned to play third base, that was one of the issues he had was the reaction time and, okay, I just snagged this like super hot shot. Now getting up, wait, I got a second.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't short. Like, I don't have to throw this 150 feet from deep in the hole. This is like a 90-foot laser I'm about to uncork. And, you know, make sure you're just accurate with your throw. Don't rush it because you don't have to. So it is different. And Correa's reaction time is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing gets by him.
No, he's a baller, man.
And he's got a cannon for an arm. He's always had a cannon for an arm. So third base for him was a very natural progression, and he just looks like, holy cow, this guy has been playing third base his whole life. And he has. He's been playing third base for like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Correa just driving in Yordan Alvarez a few moments ago. Astros lead 4-3, top six.
This is another thing, Sean. Part of the conversation when I saw a lot of people who cover the Astros over the weekend, right? Talking about this is not a good lineup. This is not, they're just not that good of a hitting team. And
they're not lately.
Yeah. They've had a couple of games here where they didn't hit the last 2 days, right? They got two hits yesterday. Maybe Jose Soriano deserves a little credit for that. And they did go through a stretch where they didn't score for 31 innings.
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago. But you look at the current lineup: Peña, Yordan, Altuve, Correa. Like, is anybody telling me that any of those guys are not? But those are like four guys who are still prime of their career hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Walker's a little older. Has he had the season he wanted? No, but for the last 2 months,
boom,
he's hitting with a 850 OPS.
Yeah.
Yainer is frustrating because he doesn't walk. He chases damn near. And Yainer is literally like the guy who escaped mom's basement with $200 in his hands. And he just hit 42nd Street. And anything in a skirt, he's waving money at. I mean, he will wave at anything. But he also has really good power. And as you saw him rip a double earlier, but when he hits it, he can smash it.
Yeah.
You've got Mauricio Dubon, who's just a solid everyday player. He doesn't walk either, but he's a great defensive player, and he knows how to do everything on the field. Look what you're getting from Urias. Urias is like a 260 hitter. He's a gold glove defender. Now, he's a gold glover at third base, who's playing elite defense at second base right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's come up with some big hits for you. You know, Sanchez went through that, 0-for-28 stretch, and then followed that up by hitting, just like being insane, totally unconscious of the plate.
Yeah, yeah.
So the guys they brought in have hit. The lineup, like your top five in your lineup, That's a really good top five in your lineup.
This is a
solid, slightly above average major league lineup because you've got four guys who are legit all-star level players.
But just wait until Yordan really gets going, and I think that makes everybody better. Like, there's a domino effect. Luis Garcia, by the way, just got through six innings. He's now the fourth straight Astros starting pitcher to get you through six innings. Christian Javier, six no-hit innings the other day. The other two, Spencer Arrighetti, Hunter Brown, combined to allow just four hits to the Angels the last 2 days. Today, Luis Garcia, he's been charged with three earned runs, gave up a couple of dingers, but still three
Brady's
hits.
Porch specials.
No walks, six strikeouts. The Astros rule of four at this point going forward. Still
in play.
Very much in effect.
Now, he just struck out Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
Fastball, 90.6 miles per hour. Fastball, 89.7. Fastball, 90. Fastball, 91.4. And then got him swinging an 81 mile an hour changeup that was practically at an angle.
You know who did the same thing about 4 days ago? Christian Javier. He got Mike Trout swinging at, you know, some 90, 91 mile per hour cheese. I think it was to round out his sixth inning of no-hit baseball. Pretty good. You know, you could shock. This is like a shock and awe campaign for the Astros. You know, they're bringing a whole bunch of pitchers back that have been injured all year. They don't have, like, their typical 94, 95 mile per hour stuff. It's shock and awe. Like, the hitters, they're looking through the scouting reports like, oh, hell, man, this guy throws 95. Nope, not today. I'm throwing 90 up there with a little bit of movement and some breaking stuff your way.
They were talking about it on the TV broadcast earlier, and Garcia said this. He says he's not worried about his velocity. He feels like his velocity will return as his arm gets stronger. And you think about it, like, he hadn't started a major league game for 28 months. He missed the better part of three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And had like six setbacks. And that's probably just the ones we know of.
Yeah, right.
And here he is. He's out there throwing slop. He's throwing slop.
He's getting outs, man.
But he's getting outs.
He's getting outs. That's all I care. And he's not walking guys. That's another big one.
But Garcia's always been a guy who throws strikes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things like you miss about a guy like Jose Urquidy. Urquidy just pounded his own strikes. And he's another guy. He didn't throw hard. Like, the hardest pitch he threw was like 94. And, you know, when his shoulder was bothering him, he was throwing like 91, 92. Mm-hmm. 92 at the top of the zone goes 400 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure does.
And that's...
I get it out of the zone.
You know, you got to... If you're going to throw that at the zone, 92 top of the zone, you better be like a foot up. Because if you're just at the letters at 90, 92, you're getting hammered.
Yep. See ya. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, we're Area 45 in for the drive. Coming up next, we'll have the D'Amico Ryans press conference in full. It is technically a game week, 1 week less than, really.
Thank you, baby Jesus.
NFL season begins on Sunday. Texans, Rams, late afternoon kickoff, 3:25 at... Is that their place or is that a home opener?
No, that's in SoFi.
Okay, I was going to say, do I work this weekend?
No, I am actually going to be here watching the game in the live.
Look lunch. At you, all by yourself, all the beer, all the chips, all the
no. Pendergast will be here.
Oh yeah,
because they do pre and post. Yeah, so yeah. Sean will be here.
You'll have a couple of people.
Clint will probably be up here. A few people will come up here, but I'm going to come up and watch the game from here and.
It'll be fun. We got some good news today from D'Amico Ryans. I'll let him break it to you. Coming up next.
Breaking news.